Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello and welcome to episode 82 of the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Minal.
And I'm And I'm Ankita.
And this week, Ankita can't speak apparently. No, this week we have we decided to have a Diwali special. Every week we usually go into a specific topic or we have a guest. And this week we wanted to make this Diwali episode for you and for our listeners, because a lot of you do get in touch with us and we just love receiving your mail and even discussing it between both of us. But we never get a chance to reply to every single one of your mails in detail, so we thought we'd use this podcast to say thank you and to also share what other people think about our episodes.
And a lot of the times, Minal and I read these emails separately, we respond to them separately as often as we can, but we've, in the past few weeks and months, we've not had the chance to just sit down and cherish and enjoy some of these emails together. We've had separate experiences of feeling happy reading your emails and your communication with us, but we've never had the chance to, you know, do that together. So we're very happy. Usually people go to each other's homes during Diwali with carrying sweets and whatnot, but this is what we are offering to you guys. So, no mithai, you know, no samosas.
I keep getting confused as to what date Diwali is. I thought it was Sunday, but Sunday I think was Dhanteras, and then I thought it was today, but apparently it's tomorrow. Well, when I say tomorrow, I mean Wednesday the 7th. Because we're recording on Tuesday. Yeah. So it's Diwali tomorrow. I will be in the hospital working a 12-hour shift, which is going to be really exciting. Because I don't think anybody in the hospital even knows it's Diwali. So
it's up to you. It's on your two fragile shoulders.
Shall I just go in with mithai and laddus for everybody?
Yeah, with laddu, wear your salwar.
A lot, like 80% of my patients are diabetic. I just walk in with laddus and mithai. So Ankita, there was one interesting patient today, and I wanted to tell you before we started recording, but we didn't get a chance, so maybe it'd be interesting for our listeners as well. And I think I could deal with it only because we've had conversations with each other, and again, our listeners email us with their life experiences and our guests as well, so it's given me a bit more perspective in life in general. There was a patient today who came in with abdominal pain or whatever. You don't need to know the medical details. Basically, she had to stay in for 2 days and she's getting a scan tomorrow. And she's concerned about her kids at home. And she said to me this morning that my kids, they're alone. You know, I'm just worried about their care. And I just asked really innocently, how old are your kids? She goes, one is nine and the other one's a little shit. I just burst out laughing. It's like, oh my god, this sounds like Ankita.
That's me.
That is literally you in the next 10 years.
One is nine. That one's okay. I can manage it. The other one's just a little shit.
Hopefully you won't be in hospital with abdominal pain waiting for a scan. But that's basically you in 9-10 years. Anyway, so
9-10 years. Can I just point out that means I need to have a baby next year so that I can say one is nine and then the other one is a
little shit. You've already calculated it in the
yeah, that's
2 seconds.
Terrifying. You're wow, describing something really terrifying. So yeah, continue.
So she isn't very high in the social ladder, we can say. You know, she just struggles. She's divorced. She's got two kids. And her kids were in separate places being cared for in separate houses while she was in hospital. So it was a bit difficult for her. Her scan was supposed to be today, but it got postponed till tomorrow. And she was upset about it. So it's like 4:45, near the end of my shift. I'm about to put my bleep away, take my stethoscope off, put my coat on, get ready to leave. As I'm leaving, a nurse catches me in the corridor and she says, Minal, you need to come now. And I just looked at her and I said, what do you need me to do that the next doctor can't do after my shift? Because at this point, I'm just so tired. I'm just exhausted from the shift today. I wasn't feeling well. I was just tired, sleep deprived. And I just didn't want to deal with anything. She said, no, only you can deal with it because you saw the patient this morning. Turn around and go back. She pulls all the cannulas out of her. And she's like, I'm leaving.
Cannulas.
You know when you give IV fluids?
Oh, like
intravenous access. Yeah. All the needles and wires inside her.
Needles, yeah.
And tubes inside her.
Yeah.
She's like, I want to go home. I'm done. And I just sat her down and I said, why do you want to leave? And she says, unless you give me morphine, I'm not leaving.
Oh, no.
And I didn't know this, but she's obviously addicted to morphine.
Oh.
And she's specific. Like, can you imagine? Specifically, she's like, I want intramuscular morphine. Usually people are like, I need painkillers. I just need some help.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not leaving until you give me an intramuscular injection of morphine. And I just looked at her.
Was she faking her symptoms?
No. Her symptoms are there. She is in pain. But the only thing she's accepting from us is morphine.
Oh, God.
And I still remember a couple of days ago when I was doing her cannula. When I was doing her injection. She was telling me which vein to go into.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, so, to be fair,
most patients know. Okay, but this patient, this was just a bit weird. Like, she was giving me really dodgy areas. She's like, yeah, like around my elbow on the side, there's a good vein. I was like, what the hell?
Oh my God.
How do you know what your veins are? Obviously, most, like, I know where my veins are for injections. You do too. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people know. But when they go to like really weird areas, you're like, how the hell did you find that out?
Yeah, how did you find out you have around my elbow or anything?
Yeah. So I sat her down and I spoke to her for about 20 minutes. Basically, the essence of it was the nurses weren't really listening to her and understanding her. And then at the end of the conversation, I said, so what can I do for you? She's like, I just want a chicken sandwich. And I'm like, you pulled cannulas out for a chicken sandwich. But she was just saying that I wanted to explain to the nurses that I want some answers. Like, if my scan is happening tomorrow, what is the scan? Why are you sticking a camera down my throat? Why, you know, am I going to be awake? Am I going to be asleep? And all of these questions are very reasonable, Ankita. Mm-hmm. And you realize that nurses don't have time for this. Doctors don't have time. And it just gets dumped on us junior doctors. Mm-hmm. And it gave me a really good, chance to introspect. Like, when you have a really long day, whether it's with your parents or with anybody, you just have to take a deep breath and say, okay, what's bothering you? Because in a lot of these situations, it's so... I mean, imagine, because I was leaving. I had my coat on and I was ready to go. I could have just flipped and said, look, lady, you're not getting a chicken sandwich. You're not getting morphine. Mm-hmm. You have your scan tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Get over it. But I just sat down and I explained to her. I said, look, if you don't get your scan tomorrow and you leave, you're going to have to come back again. And then your kids have to go into care again. And I had to explain all these things to her. And the nurse was like, oh, why did you spend so much time talking to her?
Mm.
In a really derogatory way. And I said, well, you don't do it, so I have to do it. So I think this was a really important moment for me because I realized that I am capable of not shouting on not getting worked up. Like, I realized that today because a lot of times when I get stressed out and when I'm tired, I'll just flip out or I'll lose my screws. But today I really realized that this patient was really in distress, and you just take a moment, just take a deep breath, say, okay, everything in my day has gone pretty okay. This one thing that will take 15 minutes isn't going to mess up my whole day.
Yep.
And speaking to all the guests we've had on DC Outsiders podcast and stuff, you realize that people go through shit and they just need someone to just tell them, hey, it's going to be okay. You will get a chicken sandwich. So,
I had pretty much the exact opposite experience today. It's really weird. But as you're saying this, I had quite the opposite experience where this customer came. What are you doing?
Sorry, I'm opening my Coke and the fizz is coming out. I wasn't farting. Did you think it was a poofy?
Oh, God. So I didn't have any time today. And I was just sitting down to get some, like, team leader work done instead of the coaching work. So I'm sitting down and doing it, and immediately one of my team members comes up to me and says, Ankita, are you available to do this one-to-one with this lady? Right, mm-hmm. Lady walks in. She's like, "I need a technical wizard to help me." And my colleague just said, "No, it's just a password issue. It's very simple. It'll get solved very easily. It's very simple." And I had just started something else. I said, okay, you know what? Come and sit down. And it turns out that she was a lady who owned one of my favorite lunch places close to work. So I always go there with my friends and get lunch. And I've just met her for the first time because she was telling me that someone had hacked into her email. Now, usually the minute someone tells us that someone has hacked into their email is hacked. People use the word hack so easily and so loosely that we all immediately just assume it's something else. You know, it's just another safety concern. We're going to get to the bottom of this and you're going to be reassured that there's nothing wrong. I mean, and basically what was happening was that all of her clients were getting emails from her. And it was a spam that asked, it was pretty much a spam email that asked her recipients to click on a link. So it was like passing on some sort of malware, basically. Mm-hmm. And her recipients were getting back in touch with her, asking her, why are you sending me this? And a lot of them emailed her, but she was not receiving those emails. Mm-hmm. She was only getting messages from them on her phone. Mm-hmm. And Edinburgh Council got in touch with her this morning asking her, is everything okay? Because we received a weird email from you. And that's when she freaked out and she came in. And I'm like, okay, classic case. This is a classic case of spoof email. This is like probably spoofing. There's some sort of malware. You must have clicked on some link somewhere. You must have opened some weird thing somewhere. Somebody has access, malicious software is in your system. And it's a MacBook. Obviously, they don't have a built-in antivirus system because apparently they don't need it. And I'm like, you know what? There's something going on in the background. In the meantime, let's change your passwords. Let's change everything and let's figure out what to do with this. It's a whole process to change like her passwords and everything because it's a business account from GoDaddy to whole thing. Anyway, we get Norton antivirus installed and I'm doing a full laptop scan, right?
Wait, so she's on MacBook?
A MacBook. So we installed it separately.
Okay.
Because MacBooks don't have antivirus softwares.
Right, okay.
Right? So, yeah, we're doing the scan and I'm just so convinced that this is a malware. As soon as the scan is over, you're going to see that some threat has been detected and you're going to come back and you know you just have to remove that threat, change your passwords, done.
Yeah.
I'm just like very dismissive at that point. And she's like, yeah, okay. Do I sit around here and wait for the scan to be done or do I go home and do it? And I said, it could take, you know, quite a long time. I don't know what you can achieve by sitting here. Yeah. So she goes back and then she comes back with brownies and cakes. And she says, I just had to bring this back because you're all being so kind and helping me for free. But the scan is done and zero threats were detected. And I just groaned internally because that meant that I would have to sit down again and go through this and try to figure out, oh my God, what is happening? And then there's this whole thing about not being able to log back into the account and all that. And finally, we go into like her GoDaddy and we go into her email from there. And just from there, for some reason, of all of the tests that we've done, we've checked if like her emails were being forwarded to some other account. Nothing turned up. But just because we were doing it on the browser, there was one notification that said that her emails were all being forwarded, as in redirected, to another dude's email ID. Like, she was actually hacked. It was the weirdest experience. And she was almost
Who pointed that out? Like, who noticed that? Was it her when she saw the notification?
She saw, oh, what is this notification? And she clicked on it and it said, oh, your emails are being forwarded there. And until that point, we're checking everywhere else.
No, sorry, I'm asking loads of questions because I'm not good with technology. But
no, it was Outlook. It was Outlook for like business accounts.
So if you have, so whose fault is this? And is it the MacBook that has a problem or the Outlook server?
No, it was just a weird way. So her MacBook has the mail application through which she was going into her emails, which doesn't give you all of the preferences. You can go into system preferences and all that, but it doesn't give you all of the options to check where your emails are being forwarded to. It doesn't give you the option to change your passwords. You have to go into your business accounts. You need to go into that on the browser and then get into the email via that, change the password. She did all of that. And because she was on the browser, which she never does, she noticed this. And I was so shocked because it was actually a guy who had. And I told her, don't tell your employees about what is going on. Don't tell anyone because you don't know where this came from. Immediately gave her all of the information about Action Fraud UK.
Yeah.
How to, and she like asked her to get in touch with her bank because all of her bank invoices, all of her business social media, all of that goes into that email. And this guy had made sure that any correspondence that comes into the email is redirected to his account.
So can you locate this hacker?
We can't, but I'm guessing Action Fraud UK, like police. Mm. It's for anyone who's living in the UK and interested in knowing where to go for cybersecurity issues, you need to go to, actionfraud.police.uk. So if any of you ever feel like...
Is there anything equivalent to this in India?
Not sure.
I doubt it.
But I'm hoping that our fans and our listeners would let us know. And then in a future episode where we read out more fan mail, we can...
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you have that internal groan you had. I have that every half an hour in the hospital. But it's
but
not...
Then you were so willing to, like, you were so willing to go in and speak, but I was so dismissive thinking this is something else.
But Ankita, you see, so this is the difference, right? With something like that, I'm happy to do. Like the patient, obviously she didn't know what was going on. She needed help. But today I was in the pediatric ward, stalking some bubsies. I'm just kidding. I'm not weird like that. I was just discharging a patient and I got bleeped. And when you're in the middle of a discharging a patient, you don't want to get interrupted because you're in the flow of creating all the paperwork and stuff. And I get bleeped and I ignore it. Well, I didn't ignore it. I just wrote it down. I'll call them back later. They bleep me like 5 times in 10 minutes. So I'm like, okay, this must be quite urgent. And I called. They're like, oh, a patient just came back from a scan. Are they allowed to eat? Oh, and that's when I internally groan. I'm like, you have... Yeah. So many doctors in that ward. Why have you called me? Why have you called me 5 times? That's when I internally groan. When I know that someone else can do the job or they're unnecessarily bothering me or someone doesn't want to do a job and they've put it on me, then I internally groan. But today was like, well, someone has to do it and it should be me. And that was okay. But it's interesting that this lady found this hacker after how many hours?
So I think it was this morning at 11 o'clock that she figured out that something was really wrong. Until then, other people were still getting emails, but she was not fully aware of it. She started sending test emails from her Gmail into this account and from this account into her Gmail, and none of that was being received. So obviously that was a problem because he was forwarding it, right? Like,
We had another patient as well where... This was another thing where I realized about cultural differences. At an 80-year-old lady who was ready to go home and really rich from a history. She like lives in a bungalow. She has private care. And just FYI, if you live in the UK, you don't really need private care because NHS is publicly funded and is quite useful. So, so she has her NHS and she has private care additional to this. And she was ready to go home and she was happy to go home. She wanted to go home. Nobody wants to stay in a hospital. I called the daughter. I said, your mother's ready for discharge. Please come pick her up when you can. The daughter comes really flustered. This is a Saturday afternoon, by the way. She said, who discharged my mother? Like really angrily.
Oh, God.
And I come up and I was like, I'm discharged your mother. And she said, why did you discharge her? I said, well, we reviewed her. Everything is fine. No medically fit for discharge. Her meds are with her. She's ready to go. She says, but I don't have time to take care of my mother.
The first time I'm hearing this.
My jaw dropped because this poor old lady, she was the nicest old lady who was so caring and so nurturing when I saw her. And the girl's like, I'm not ready to take care of my mother. And I said, well, why? Like, you know, sometimes you just have to ask, like, are you okay? Like, do you have a car to take her home? Does she not have a carer? What are you worried about? She's... I have 2 kids. My life is really busy. I don't have time to take care of my mother. And as she was saying that, another nurse came in and just pushed me to the side and said, Meenal, actually, her mother gave her thousands and thousands of pounds specifically for her medical care. And she's blown it off on herself. And she doesn't want to take her mother home. And in my head, she just kept arguing with the nurses. And in my head, the only thing that was repeating was, she's your mother. Like, if you can't take care of her, surely you would at least take her out of the hospital and find another way to make sure that she's comfortable because clearly she doesn't want to be in the hospital. And that, I realized, was a very... it's just like the way we are raised in India, I think. where mm-hmm. we feel like we have to take care of our parents. And I mean, I wasn't thinking that because I was brainwashed. That's not what I mean. I just mean that we just have this side of us where we're like, well, we should take care of our parents. We have to and all that. But yeah. it seems like some people who are raised differently, were not raised in that sort of culture, think it's okay to just say, well, I don't have time to take care of my mother.
Well, one of my previous employers, this is in the UK, by the way, one of my previous employers' husbands, he had a care facility, care homes, not care homes. So he runs this company where he sends out carers to go take care of older people who are living alone or need some support. They need support showering. They need support going out for a walk or buying things. So that is what the whole business is about. But do you remember the Beast from the East when in the UK there was this snowstorm.
Snowstorm
that came in from the east, from Russia. And especially in places like Scotland, the minute it starts snowing, the entire city just shuts down because we're just not equipped to deal with a lot of snow. And this was quite a lot of snow as well. And at that time, a lot of carers were getting stuck on the road. They were getting stuck in their offices because they had to work longer hours. And because of this, they couldn't send out a lot of carers to some of the homes. So they only sent carers out to emergency homes where old people are stuck in their homes too. So they would risk it to send the carers there.
Yeah.
But there was this one patient whose daughter lived right across from her, right across the street from her. And the daughter daughter was a doctor. She was a GP. And she called up the agency and threw a fit that her mother's carer had not shown up. And they explained, oh, by the way, thank you for asking how our carers are doing, because they're actually getting stuck on the roads and they're having to spend nights in the road and things like that are happening. Plus, you're a GP. You can literally get out of your house, cross the road, go to your mother and see if she's okay. And she was throwing a fit. Yeah. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's really interesting working in the hospital because you start to learn so much about human behavior. And I'm sure it's the same with you at Google as well. You start to learn a lot about human interaction and human behavior. Yeah. And you start to learn about yourself as well. You deal with stressful situations.
Yeah, so much about yourself. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Mostly about yourself, where some people come in and you just don't know how to deal with them. And you're like, how patient are you going to be in the situation? At what point do you decide, nope, I'm not going to take this? Or at what point do you go, oh my God, I hope every single customer is like that.
And then also you just think how much do I want to entertain this person? How much do I want to keep speaking to them? Do they deserve this attention?
Time. Because
there are other there are other people in the garage, for example, or other patients in the hospital. Anyway, we've deviated quite a lot. I think we should go back to our listeners now. That's enough about us, Ankita. I think people have heard enough about our lives. So one of the first fan mails in a long line of fan mails, actually we've only been getting quite a lot in the last season, I think, and I think it's because people are starting to go back to listen to our previous episodes, and people are surprisingly enjoying our conversations on trending topics or anything we decide to speak about.
It's really weird. Meenal and I recently went back and looked at what our listens are episode to episode, week to week, month to month, and they are significantly higher than when we just interviewed a guest, because I feel like sometimes when you interview a guest, a lot of their followers are very interested. But sometimes people who are not interested in that particular topic, they wouldn't just, zone out. But when it's us talking about our lives and us talking about generally our opinions on some things, there are a lot of people who agree with us. I'm very pleased to talk about the latest fan mail that we received from Adi Shivan, who is a second year aeronautical engineering student, and he aspired to go into journalism once upon a time, same as the guest from our 12th episode, Abhishanth Kidangur, who also happens to be a close personal friend of mine. He says, I couldn't reach out to anyone to share my situation and to find a solution. And I thought of discontinuing engineering. I felt like my life was over. But after getting to know about a successful engineer like Abhishanth, I feel like I still have hope. Like him, I'm going to continue engineering, and I'm going to work on my dreams on the side as well. So thank you for letting me know about his story. And one more thing, why no videos were out from your channel for a long time? Hope you guys do some more stuff and get back. First of all, as soon as I saw your email, Adishivan, I copied it and I sent it to Abhishant. He's in Hong Kong right now. Yeah, he used to be in New York. He was in New York when he spoke to us. He still works for Time, but he's working in Hong Kong now. It's a crazy time difference, but he did call me on my birthday. His birthday is this month. If you want to wish him, it's on the 19th. I'm sure he'd be very happy to see this email from you. And while we don't have any videos anymore, it takes a lot of time to create videos. Plus, it takes actual effort to be in the same room as each other so that we can create those videos.
Yeah, it's, to be fair, those were the times when we only really made videos when we were together. And Ankita and I were discussing, we're going to try sync up a weekend where I'm free and she's free as well.
Yeah.
And I'd love to come to Edinburgh again and have some more shenanigans like we did. Yeah. So, thank you. What's his name?
Adishivan.
Thank
you. Very similar name to Abhishant as well.
Thank you, Adishivan, for your email. We've had really uplifting emails like this one, for example. Then we've had other emails which are disturbing at the beginning, but then also it gives you a bit of a relief that this person has someone to speak to. A young girl who sent us an email in regards to our Feminism India website, and she wanted to write for us, and she shared a story of a friend. And Ankita, I don't know about you, but when I read it, I felt kind of sick and kind of disturbed to the extent that I had to read it. I had to take breaks reading it because the severity of it is so grave. And I don't know. I think for me, Ankita, you would know, like when it comes to kids, I just have a weak point. And you just think like, how can an innocent child go through something like this? So it's about a young girl who learns, who is taught actually how to touch her sister's genitals at the age of 3. And it's a sister who's teaching her how to do it. Now, this young girl at the age of 3 is learning how to, sorry for this very graphic word, but basically learns how to finger her sister at the age of 3, obviously not knowing what she's doing. And she's doing this thinking that it's normal. And as she grows up, sorry, I'm taking really long to describe this because it's actually quite disturbing for me to say, but also really important, but she learns how to lick her sister's breasts, and she's taught how to, that's the most disturbing part. Someone's taught her how to do this, and it's a 9-year-old girl at this point doing stuff like this. And I remember when I was 9, man, I was so innocent. I played with my football and my basketball. I had no idea how dark the world could be. Mm-hmm. This poor girl is doing something like this, and she goes to sorry, Ankita. It's actually really disturbing for me to speak about, but she goes to her family's house for a celebration, and her uncle picks her up on his shoulders and starts to slide his finger under her pants. And the reason why this young girl doesn't question it is because she's learnt this from her sisters. Her uncle has done it to her. And she kind of just thinks it's normal. I mean, when you were a kid and you were eating piranhas for breakfast or going out to play in the park, you thought that was normal, right? This was her normal. And that's the scary part. She does mention that there was an evening where this young girl's uncle came and he started playing a romantic song for her and just touching her on her breasts and her genitals and trying to just molest her, really. He threatens that he's going to tell this girl's mother if she doesn't comply, and she doesn't know what's right or wrong, but basically she's living with these dark memories in her brain. And as she grows up, she doesn't really know a lot of questions in life because she always doubts herself. She doesn't know what's right and what's wrong. She was diagnosed with epilepsy because this whole traumatic experience affected her. And the story ends there, unfortunately. And I say unfortunately because a part of me wanted to know what else happens to this young girl, hoping that there's some light at the end of the tunnel. And if this listener is listening in, you will know who you are. You will know what story you sent us. There's no need to mention any names, but please let us know, you know, what this was about. I'd like to know more in detail because I think a lot of people may have witnessed something like this in their family or may have gone through it. And I'd like to know, like, from a medical point of view, are you guys getting help? Or the people you've seen gone through this, are they getting any help? Are you part of an NGO that helps people like this? I really want to know because I think this is something that just needs... I can't say stop because it will never stop, Ankita.
No.
But I don't know... I don't know what word to use.
It's just that my heart hurts knowing that this girl has not shared this with very important family members because her own sister was the one who started doing this to her at a very young age. She probably has not talked about this to a lot of people. She hasn't had time or the liberty to process this. And every time I read that email or every sentence of that email that I read, I kept thinking, like you said, I thought of myself as a 9-year-old, as a 3-year-old, and I kept thinking, thank God that wasn't me. I'm just so grateful that I didn't go through that because I don't want to know.
But not even that, Ankita, it's about like you, and you know, even as a kid, even to my teenagers,
yeah,
my innocence was never corrupted for any reason. I was still innocent. I was still an innocent child. And I think innocence is the most beautiful part of your childhood. Nobody deserves to be taken away from that. And I, as we are recording this, I had to open the email again because I didn't want to remember the story. A part of me, when you spoke about it, I was like, yeah, I vaguely remember, but I didn't remember the details. And I opened it again and I realized why I didn't want to remember it because it gives me goosebumps every time I talk about it. So to the person who emailed us, firstly, thank you for sending us this email and sharing something like this with us and having the confidence in us to share it because not everybody shares these kind of stories. And I just want you to know that we are here for you. If we can help in any way, if you want us to reach out to anybody to help you, we will definitely do that. And if our listeners have any connections or any contacts where people can go to help them heal from this tragedy or see or help other people heal from something like this, please let us know because this is just not acceptable.
In a few weeks' time, we are going to be interviewing a guest who herself is a childhood sexual abuse survivor. The main reason she wants to be on our podcast is so that she can talk about how you can convert these stories into stories of strength. And because as human beings, we have a lot of strength within us to recover from unimaginable trauma. And she wants to share that with us and with the rest of you as well.
But Ankita, so you know, like, tune in. It is interesting that the person we're going to interview, of course, a very strong woman and really courageous to be able to speak about it. She must be so strong-minded, but I feel like that's maybe just 10% of survivors. I really feel that there's a larger percentage of people where these kind of things break them, man.
Yeah, and it's important for them to hear from people who have survived.
When you walk into a psychiatry unit or a hospital or anything, and you see people, alcohol abuse or anything, they've always gone through something in their life. And I feel that we hear a lot of the success stories and we hear, like, this lady we're going to interview, we're going to hear her story. And we've had previous people on our show, on our podcast, who've had these great stories, and I think it's amazing. But for example, this email that we just got is one bad email we received in the 20 good ones. And I think these are the important ones, and these are the ones that are not spoken about. So you can send us an email again if you've gone through something like this, and we will always keep everything anonymous. And you can send us an anonymous email as well, just as long as you just talk to someone about it.
And the way to send that is to mail@desioutsiders.com. And on social media, you can find us at Desi Outsiders, so you can send us personal messages, direct messages as well. But moving on to something slightly more uplifting, it starts off being a bit sad, but then it goes up. I mentioned her in our previous episode. Her name is Vidushi. She sent me a thank you note saying that a few months ago in one of our brain dumps, we talked about how my father had blocks in his heart and he underwent bypass surgery. And Vidushi says, when I heard that, it immediately struck me, because my father, for the past few months, had been having mild chest pains, which he was taking very lightly. But we did get the test done. We got the ECG and full body routine tests, etc. But the day I heard your episode, I told my father that we were going to get an angiogram done. And I heard angiogram for the first time from you. And as it turns out that he had three blocks in his heart in his... Yeah, so he underwent surgery on June 6th this year, and he has been recovering quite well. And I'm very happy to hear that, Vidushi. It's always nice to hear that you're taking care of your loved ones. So thank you for sharing that heartwarming email with me, because it's almost 1 year since my dad went through his surgery. It was on December 18th. So yeah, we're nearing that 1 year milestone, and he is recovering well. He's traveling, he's going to movies. He's happy, most importantly, and I'm grateful that you could also see the same sort of recovery process with your dad.
Congratulations, Vidushi, and well done on taking this step, because I know some dads can be quite difficult because they want to be the strong ones and show that they're unbreakable. So to convince your dad to do that was really, really a great job. Well done, Vidushi. And we're really happy for you as well. We have another guest who sent us... I just love this, because he starts off his email by saying, "Hey guys, I got to work 15 minutes early, so I thought I'd send you an email." I'm like, what's the thing? If I get to work 15 minutes early, I'd try to take a nap somewhere or like grab some coffee. That's really great that you thought of us in your first 15 minutes of starting your day. He talks out, this listener who sent us an email speaks to us about our episode on was it moving away from home, right? We did an episode on what's recently, like to moving away from home. So he speaks about his own move when he was 12, moved from India. He speaks about how emotional it was, and he felt like there was a void in his heart leaving to Canada. But he does tell us that when he wanted to live at university, his parents didn't want to leave him, so that was quite a bummer for him. And he feels like if he had gone to university, then maybe he would have grown independently. So he felt that our episode of moving away from home really resonated with him. And he did say, Ankita, and this is not a humble brag, I just want to say, does say that Meenal's, this is quote, "Meenal's deep advice really moved me. So thank you, Meenal," unquote. And can I just say, I think it's the same guy who emails us, and I love his emails. They always make me laugh. I think he's a guy who always says that I have an amazing laugh.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Because, no, this is
listener,
actually,
can you please confirm that?
For you. No, I'm bragging for you. A lot of people say they like your laugh and your voice. So
really?
It's probably not the same
guy. I don't know about my voice. About the laugh, I agree. About my voice, I don't know. I think my accent.
Your accent.
I think people prefer... I don't think it's my voice that people like. I think it's the accent that people like.
Okay, cool.
Everybody's attracted to a British accent, Ankita.
Oh, well...
Well, okay. I guess not.
I'm attracted to a Barb Kellner accent.
Oh, yeah. So thank you for your email. And in fact, this same listener recently, and I saw this on Instagram, recently bought his very first car. And I think that's one big milestone in your life. So very big congratulations to this listener.
Congrats, Gaurav. I don't think there's any problem in
me. I know, I've been saying this listener and this fan, and you just like go blur out his name.
Congrats, Gaurav, on your new car. Thank you for emailing us. And thank you for emailing us when you have 15 extra minutes at work.
Yeah, that's great. And thank you for thinking of us, really. That's really nice of you and really sweet of you. And congratulations on your new car as well.
Yep. And this next email is from Harshit. And if Gaurav sent us an email in the extra 15 minutes he got at work, it took me more than 15 minutes to go through Harshit's email. It was pretty long and it was very nice. It was very kind. And also, you know, he had so much to share with us. I'm so glad to have received this email. So Harshit was telling us about the first few episodes about periods, male and female hygiene, and all of those conversations, which he thought were quite risky, and how we openly discussed them. And he said those were some of the most rewarding episodes as they changed the way we look at certain topics which are still considered taboo to discuss in most parts of India and maybe in some parts of the world as well. And then he says, in India, where people are so obsessed with certain film celebrities and cricketers, you came up with people from diverse fields who are still somewhat anonymous to the general public but are impacting lives of others in ways that not many prominent people do. And he calls them out by name, which makes me so, so happy. He says Ajit George from Shanti Bhavan, Anjali Menon, who's the film director that we interviewed, Aditi Gupta from Menstrupedia, Malvika Iyer, who's a bomb blast survivor, and Major Archie Acharya, who works in the Indian Army.
I think Ajit George is just universally quite loved by all our listeners. Like that episode.
Universally, that episode is my favorite.
I think that just cracked a big door for us, that we realized the beauty of speaking to people and interviewing. So again, thank you, Ajit, for giving us that opportunity.
Thank you, Ajit, for giving us that opportunity. And thank you, Harshit, for listening to our episodes and actually listing some of the amazing people that we have interviewed. It makes us very proud to look at that list. And he also, this is the best part of the email, he suggests a few topics that we could possibly discuss. He says there's one that he would like us to discuss from the medical field. What are your views on passive euthanasia, and if you could throw some light on why it is good or bad? And he also suggested the Bollywood film October, which slightly touched upon the issue, and maybe we can watch and also do an episode on it. The second topic he suggested was porn. Is porn affecting the way men look at women? And I thought that was very interesting because not a lot of people even want to admit that they watch porn. Not a lot of women watch porn in India. So it would be interesting to talk about that. And the third topic he suggested was why are northeastern states in India, except for West Bengal, somewhat neglected or given less attention in mainstream media? Which is something that I do not know the answer to. I've never thought
about it either.
No.
So, but this is what we were saying, Ankita, when we do tell our listeners to email us, this is what we want. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like something we've never thought about. I never thought about that. And even this thing about porn is if it's affecting the way men look at women. Yeah. I think that would be such an interesting conversation.
So interesting. So many men don't want to admit to having watched it. So many women don't even want to watch it because they think I'm above that. Porn is dirty. Let's see if we want to do that topic. And my dad, who is recovering from his heart condition, might not want to listen to that. So, moving on.
Yeah, we don't want to send Uncle back to hospital again.
No.
So, thank you, Harshit, for that email. And I don't want to go out reading more emails because I think that will just take too long. But what I would like to say is that we have a lot of you sending us emails and a lot of you who are going back and listening to our interviews, listening to our previous episodes. And that brings us a lot of joy because it means that what we put out there has some longevity and it's not something that we do for 1 week, it stays and then we move on. It's there, it's sitting there. And it can stay there for months, hopefully in the future, years as well. Anybody can go back to listen to. And that's the beauty of it, that we're creating content that can be listened to at any time. And we just want to thank you all for taking the time from your day to email us, especially because I know what it's like working a full-time job, having your own life, and then to sit down and write an email is probably the last thing a lot of you want to do after a long day.
Can I just confess that I listen to a lot of podcasts, but I have never emailed any one of the podcasters.
Really?
And I feel so bad saying this because I'm on the receiving end now and so many kind people email us. And I'm thinking, I consume podcasts like crazy and I haven't emailed any one of them saying that I appreciate their work.
Even Ankita, I'm not going to lie, sometimes when I have to reply to your message, I'm like, oh, I'll just reply tomorrow. Even just a WhatsApp message, I'm like, oh, I'm too tired. Yeah. But, you know, something like this brings us so much joy because it just gives us a reminder that people are with us in this journey. This is not Desi Outside, it's just the three of us trying to create content. We're all in it together. And it really lights up our day. And it's lightened up our Diwali this year as well.
It has.
Did you see what I did there?
I did.
It's a festival of lights. Oh, for those who didn't catch the joke.
No, you need to stop now. Okay, so moving on. We had quite a few more to read. And this is after we had, you know, really gone through our emails and selected just a few out of quite a few emails that we had.
Out of received. Hundreds and thousands.
Not hundreds and thousands. I would say maybe like 10, 15. But I would have loved to have gone through all of them. We just are short on time. If you want, we can make this a part two if you're interested. If you're interested in us reading out some of these interesting emails, please let us know. You can let us know by sending us another email to mail@desioutsiders.com, commenting on one of our photos.
Yeah, send us one fan mail, then send us another mail telling us you want a part two.
Telling us you want a part two. You can comment on this episode when it gets released. You can just leave a comment anywhere on social media. And if we see that people want to listen to this, then maybe we can do a part two of fan mail. So
yeah, I think this is something we should do regularly, just to connect with our listeners. Yeah. And it's really nice for us to read out. And also, Ankita, because, I mean, I don't know about you, but I tend to read these emails like at work or when I'm in a rut. Like, I don't have time to sit down and go through it.
Uh-huh.
So this is a good chance for us to do that together. And it makes me really happy to go through them. So thank you to everybody. We hope you all had a beautiful and happy Diwali celebration with your loved ones. If you do celebrate Diwali, if you don't, Christmas is around the corner, so don't be jealous about that. You will have your celebration as well. we are celebrating in Europe, in UK actually. I'm not doing much. I don't know, Ankita, are you doing anything for Diwali?
I have tomorrow off, which is really strange. I have tomorrow off, so I'm going to run some errands in the morning and buy underwear for Shane.
Okay.
Because Shane's leaving for the US soon and he needs underwear. He doesn't have time.
Well, thank you all again. We'll see you guys next week. And again, if you want us to discuss anything, do let us know. So until next week, I'm Meenal.
And I'm Ankita.
And we are the Desi Outsiders.
Bye.